Hello and welcome to the 31st episode of The Undermined. My guests today are Bytekeeper. Hey, Bytekeeper.
Hello.
Ankh-Mardor.
Hello.
And Litabot. Hi.
Hello.
And let's begin with the usual question, what you've been up to recently. So let's start with Lita, because of reasons.
Yeah, okay, fine. What I've done to mainly recovering from some minor surgery, nothing to worry about, but mainly sitting here recovering. As for my bots, I still have to work a lot on it. I'm still working on this other bot API for a smarter game. That's my current hobby project. But my plan is to really go for it in the SCIT this year again. So if you're looking for like a very new version of Leaderbot with all the things that I've been talking about in the last podcast that I was on, those things, you'll probably see that in the next SSCIT. Not this AID, because even now I'm still don't really have enough time to implement those things.
Well, that's kind of sad to hear that your updates will be a little bit later, but I wish all the luck to your project. And that also means probably that you are not participating in AID, right?
No, I am participating, but with my 2018 version. Like, I've registered and everything, but it's going to be like the 2018 version that's going to be the submission that I'm sending in this year.
So other players had time to prepare against that.
Yeah, if they want, since I'm not really actively participating, I'm not really expecting my bot to get very high anyway.
Well, it's still good that you are participating. And let's continue with Ankh, what you've been up to lately, and I kind of know the answer to that.
Yeah, so a fair amount of time would be getting facts for your articles. The rest of my time probably is split between working on the text adventure or text-based game that I've been working on for a while, and then the rest of it would be searching for our missing cat, which went missing about a week ago. So actually, a week and a half at this point.
Oh, that sounds sad.
Oh, well, I've known him for a decade. He went outside and didn't come back.
Well, we hope that he will turn up. And I'd like to say a huge thanks, because I've been writing a book on Brood War API, and you've been a massive help proofreading and correcting my mistakes. So I think that deserves recognition. And the question is about your text-based game. Does this have any overlap or relation to the StarCraft AI? I mean, can you utilize the knowledge gained in one field on the other?
No, probably not at this point. I mean, there's little things. I mean, it's active programming, but other than that, it's a different language than the bot would be. Because it's its own language of a mixture of Lua and Python, and I use C++ for the bot, so different language, and so there's not really a lot that can be gained there. And it's not a lot of AI in the other game. I plan to add some AI, but it'll be crude. I think the best you could relate it to would be the core of a combat simulator, basically, because currently the enemies do the equivalent of basically, is there an enemy in front of us, and then do something appropriately, like a retreat or attack, basically. And so I'd like to add something a little more realistic than that.
Yeah, that brings me back memories when I played MUDs. And MUDs are basically text-based MMOs. And back in my day, we played MMOs and we didn't even have graphics. And let's ask the same question to Bitekeeper. What's up with you? What's up with Basil?
Well, Basil is running okay. I didn't really change much with it. I was mostly doing helping Jaeger with the JBW API and my library ASS on it, so for my own bot, which doesn't progress very. But I hope I can enter this year's SSCIT tournament. I really hope I can. It's a lot of work.
What kind of bot are you working on?
Still, I just pimped my old bot. I threw all the code away and restarted. It's still a Circ bot with some. I don't do any machine learning or stuff. I will just do some simulations and behavior tree things. Similar to not. I don't want to say purple wave, but it's basically part of the same idea. But it will be much, much weaker.
Well, it's an attempt. And you were also organizing something very special. It's the first European Brood War AI Meetup 2019. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. We already have a lot of participants.
Yes, I think you are the chief organizing manager of organizing things in that project. And your experience in the previously working in the Department of Redundancy Department has helped a lot organizing this.
Yes, and my Minister of Redundancy is also helping a lot.
Yeah, so for those who haven't heard about this event, and I can't possibly know how you could have done that, it's basically Bitekeeper lives near me and we've been trying to meet up for some time. But feel free to join if you're near Munich or Stuttgart or, basically Bavaria.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
So yeah, that's what we are doing. If if you want to join us. And we have some news, actually. That is, if you don't want to... don't want to say anything else. So we have some news. You might have seen that I've been asked to provide a little bit of content for the Pylon show, and I did. It is just a few minutes of introducing the Brood War AI scene to the gamer public, because I believe Pylon show is mostly aimed at gamers. And I've been very happy to do that, because any kind of exposure to this scene is helpful. I don't know if you've seen it. What's your opinion on it? I would be glad to hear it.
I haven't seen that episode yet. I've seen previous episodes where it's like they already mentioned about the Brood War AI tournaments that were going on. So how's this any different? Like, you're doing like a specific segment on how exactly it works?
Well, I just made a video. It's a few minutes long, and they played it on the show.
I've seen it. I think it's a very good idea. I'm not sure we'll reach many people who can actually program, but I really hope we can reach a few with.
Yeah, as we discussed previously, I don't think there is a huge overlap between gamers and AI developers, Brood War AI developers, or any kind of AI developers, to be honest. Gamers in a sense of mainstream or intensive gaming, or, well, how can I phrase it correctly? People who spend a lot of time gaming would be the most definition of this category. Because if you play a lot, you, by definition, you don't really have time to develop your bot. But regardless, I think there is an opportunity there to recruit and get some exposure, and we should definitely do it. I should definitely do it.
Certainly.
So what do you think, as if you were a hardcore gamer, what kind of stuff would you want to hear about AI?
I think if I were a hardcore gamer, I would like to have some thing like a bot framework where I could just make minute changes to test something out. It's a bit like having Steam Hammer or Locutus, but with changes that could be made a little bit easier. Well, config files are already easy compared to C++ coding.
Other peoples?
I think that's the kind of people who really play the game quite a lot will be quite interested in like a very easy way to play against such a bot, which of course you are still working on, I know, but that's like the thing that most people are really into the game itself. They would be really willing to just get an easy method to play against one of those more high level bots.
Well, yeah, as mentioned before, the Schneel project is not dead yet. It is on hold for, other reasons. Reasons outside of our control, and I don't want to elaborate on that, but there is still hope.
I think that, like, Steam Hammer is probably, at least the only active one, since I don't think David Churchill's bots are really active in development right now, but I think just with the ability to add a text-based list of, for a build order is probably the ideal for a lot of these people who just want to try it out quickly and just say, I know build orders, and so can I convert that into a bot? Because they don't want to know, all the little orders and everything like that. They might pick up an interest later and say, how does this work? But I think they'll start off with just putzing around, just trying various AIs and making slight customizations. So I think in a lot of ways, just adding a customization file that's easily human readable, that someone could just go in and change a few values and get a radically different bot to play against, is an easy way of appealing to the gamer audience, I think.
I quite like that idea, that you get a bot that maybe not the best bot, but you can test out your ideas with it. And it is scriptable.
Yeah, Steam Hammer is already very far in that department.
How much coding knowledge you would need to modify Steam Hammer in that way? What would you say?
I thought Steam Hammer already had that. I thought he pulled from David Churchill's bot, I think it was the Albert bot, which used a list of units to build. I thought he maintained that still. So I haven't checked. I haven't been reading the blog, so you literally don't need any programming knowledge to make use of it right now. To add it in,
He actually did keep it, and he also extended it a lot. You have a lot of small commands you can add into the build order list, like fast exit, where to do things, and where to place in front, middle, at the base. It's interesting.
Is this fully documented?
I believe it's somehow documented in the blog, and for the rest, I don't know. I didn't check the documentation. I guess you'd have to read the C++ code a bit.
Interesting. And I found that this kind of stuff really can pull people into programming, because there are a lot of coding scripting games, and they've been historically somewhat successful at it. And the beauty of it that you can be very young to play around with it. If you already have a career, you might be less inclined to do this, but for someone who is in high school or college, this is just the perfect thing. Alright, and speaking of AI games and presenting them to the public, one of my plans is to dissect bot plays along with the author. And I've been thinking about how to do this properly. I think the best way would be to just get together and stream games of that bot and maybe show the code or just talk about the code and how it works. And you don't have to show winning or especially interesting games when you have live commentary and either you either the play itself is interesting or the author can explain the reasoning behind, and that will be interesting. I don't know what you think of that idea.
I think it's a good idea, but I also think, due to the huge amount of code for a bot, it would be a very small section of behavior, maybe like combat behavior or macro behavior of a bot. It also would be very nice to see the debug output. For example, if you enable all of Purple Wave's debug, your screen lights up. If you reduce that, you actually get a very nice amount of info and you can see what the bot is thinking. It's very interesting.
Well, yeah, but of course you need to prepare and maybe bring your replays with you. So it's not like on the fly, because that's probably a lot of potato games. But like I said, I can only do this in cooperation with the author. For that, I would need volunteers, and I would need considerable time for those volunteers, because you need to prepare, select your replays, and basically think out what you want to say. That is not to put pressure on you or anything. You just need to prepare. And yeah, volunteers are welcome. If you want, as a bot author, to do something like this, just contact me.
I don't know. It's just, I think you really do have to plan it out in advance, because yeah, you can get a lot of content, especially in the coding side, and not all of it is interesting or appealing. I like the idea of picking a section that the author thinks is interesting or unique about their bot, or so something they spent a lot of time on, you know, customizing, versus, you know, just the run of the mill sort of things.
Yeah, of course, you can showcase any and all of it. You don't need to pass an exam or anything. Your bot don't need to be any good. You just need to explain how it works. I think even relatively simple bots can be interesting in that regard. And I picked the streaming as an option because during streams, you are kind of expect that for most of the time, it's not that interesting. Please take this with the grain of salt, which what I just said. As I'm not saying streaming is not interesting. I'm saying an edited video is higher in quality, by definition, because on the fly you can't be as well crafted. So that being said, streaming it and just relaxing and giving it time would be a better format for this.
I don't know. Yeah, the game, it's got some lulls in it where there's not much going on. And bot games, I find that after you've seen the first few hundred, they have a tendency to run together. So it might be appealing to have a mix. I feel like you almost just need a montage of interesting clips to play. Like maybe pick, maybe 20, 30 minutes worth of footage of interesting things to talk about. And then just play it as needed, but that seems like a little more setup. But
well, what you can do is both. You do a longer stream and just edit then and compile the highlights and the really interesting parts. I think maybe that would be the best.
I still think watching a whole game is a bit too much. I think focusing on something like, for example, Muta Micro in a specific situation would already take a lot of time to explain. And if you don't dive too deep into the code and just explain the basic idea, it should still be interesting.
Oh yeah, that's a good point too. Well, I would really like to try this out and iterate from there. Let's jump into our next topic, which is kind of the theme of today's episode, which is conferences. AID is on the horizon. It's in October, if I'm not very much mistaken, and 27 participants already registered, and that's a good number. I like that number, and I've been hearing that a lot of authors are working hard on that, and I think maybe AID is the most prestigious event of the year because it's just huge. That being said, what are your experiences with various conferences, either attending them or preparing to them or anything you can think of?
Well, I've last year attended the CIG, which it's now named COG, but back then it was called CIG. And what you see there is you see is like some live demos of things people have tried. You see the kind of ideas that they try to put forth. And also, you can, of course, sometimes test it yourself, but most of the time you look at what other people have done and how exactly they've done it, and you see a demo of how they've done it, which in itself is also quite interesting to see how they got to where they are. But besides that, the conference itself, I myself enjoy going to them, but due to recent problems, I couldn't really make it this year. But if you have like the possibility to go so and you're interested in like AI and games, then these kinds of conferences are a way to go.
What is the atmosphere like? Is it very busy? Is there an after party kind of thing? Do you get very exhausted, or do you make new friendships, loves and everything?
Depends, because the part that I was, you have multiple parts in there. One of them is the poster presentation, where you've got a whole bunch of people in a room, and they set up their demos and their posters, and they explain to other people who are interested in how exactly things work. It's just everybody in the conference can just go there and just pick whatever they want to see, and the people presenting are just standing there and presenting the stuff. And then there's also the actual paper presentations, where there's just one guy or girl standing there with a microphone, with a PowerPoint presentation, and perhaps a video demo. They're standing there explaining their paper that they made in front of an entire audience, and the audience is just quiet. So it depends on the kind of thing you've got, because you've also got pure demos, where you're not even really talking about your paper, you're just showing a video. Those are also part of the conference. So, like I said, it depends on when exactly which part of the conference is going on.
And you've done such a presentation before, right?
I was part of the post presentations. So I was one of those people in the room who was presenting my... back then it was my wall building. So I showed some demo of my bot doing its thing. And also had a poster explaining in a bit higher level what the paper was about that I made for the conference. And people came to me and I explained a bit more about my bot and how exactly the wall building was incorporated and things like that.
Sounds interesting, and you should definitely go. And, do you think we need more of these kind of events?
Well, game AI isn't really that level of big, like something like SIGFIS, like a visualization conference. So the current ones we have, you can already get pretty much enough out of them. Like I don't think we need that much more at the moment. Maybe in the future when game AI becomes bigger, you could have like more of them. But for now, like those two main conferences that we have, the COG right now, the AIID, where it's like one is in more North America, one is more in Europe for the most part. For now, that should be enough, in my opinion, at least. But I'm not the most knowledgeable about it. But in my opinion, yeah, for now, you've got enough conferences for game AI specifically.
Any personal war stories from those conferences you have, maybe?
I myself not. Well, sometimes the demo doesn't quite work, but some people out there, they've got like a demo, might take some while to set up, but that's about it. That's about the only real problems I've encountered in the conference.
Dear other guests, what are your experiences in the field?
I haven't actually been to any conferences, so I don't really have much to add. I mean, I'd be curious, I guess, but I don't know if it appeals to me enough to put the effort.
I also didn't attend any of those conferences. I also think it's, I read somewhere it's very expensive to enter as a non-student.
Yeah, that is indeed the case. Especially the more top ones like AIID and COG. If you're like a member of IEEE or the related ones for AD, then it becomes a lot cheaper. But you do need to be like a member of the IEEE. Then it is a bit expensive, though. Yeah, so that's something to keep in mind.
I tend to disagree with you on that game AI is not a big thing. It's becoming more and more of a big thing. Not just our scene, but StarCraft 2 scene is growing as well. And AlphaStar did make a very big popularity boost to that scene. And I think we will see more and more of that stuff emerge. Especially because AI is kind of in a hype phase now.
Well, like I already said before, like I can see it growing, but I'm talking more about like right now. Because even with the Google DeepMind stuff, you might see some other conferences kind of incorporating it, which are related to games like, like Dave Churchill, he presented this paper at, Oh, you have to look it up. I don't know for sure, but he presented at like some general game conference. So there you might see some more of it. But as it currently stands, it's growing, but it's not like there yet.
Do you think people perceive these conferences as some very serious thing, and that might deter them?
They are indeed kind of intended as serious because you are presenting like a scientific paper. You have to actually have an objective evaluation and everything. There is, of course, some fun there. There are some, like, for example, in the CIG conference, there was like a boat ride, and you've got some wine tasting events and things like they did as well. But the main focus is, of course, still the more serious part. I'm not sure if that will really deter people because... I mean, you are there for the game AI after all. It's an academic conference, so it's known beforehand what you're getting into. As for like more fun-oriented game AI conferences, well, I guess you could make... those are usually more incorporated in like the more general game events in general, where the AI is just part of our game, and you talk about it in that sense. That's like the less serious style, which... you usually find that kind of game AI.
Well, that's not the spirit of the first International European Brood War AI Meetup 2019, I have, you know.
Yeah, the conference is a little bit smaller than the COG.
Yeah, or short FabWaim, I think. So maybe that's something that deters people just going there, because I've been thinking, as an let's say average programmer, you might be a little bit intimidated by all the academics and everything, and you perceive it as, oh, okay, there are gonna be some serious talks and I will be bored and I have better things to do. But in contrast, there are conferences like DEF CON, or maybe I should bring up DemoSim parties, because those are basically thinly veiled attempts at getting drunk. And while there are very good presentations, the spirit of them are very different.
Yeah, like the conference that Dave Church was at, it's the Game Developers Conference. That's more the kind of style of conference that you're probably referring to.
Yeah, sure. And I'm just brainstorming what should we do, or what actually we want. And I love to wildly speculate and say things that actually people never said. Bringing back the topic to AWID, I see quite a few new bots participating, and I think we have one more corporate bot. I'm just reading Jay's blog on the subject, and it seems that there is a bot called Xiaoyi. That's not how it's pronounced, but it is yet another corporate bot. And do you think that's a good thing that we seem to see the rise of corporate bots?
Yeah, but corporate bots are usually the means to an end, and the end is not to have a bot, but to advertise some AI technology or some future AI technology.
Also, I've seen that the Terran bot that used to be on top of the SRT. Let me think. Anybody knows the Samsung bot? That one isn't registered apparently in the current AIID, and I don't really see the Facebook one either.
Seda is actually registered, but not with a new version.
Oh yeah, that's what I mean. Like they haven't been the Seda and the Samsung bot haven't been updated.
I wonder if they abandoned that project or just waiting for some other event.
That's the problem with corporates. They might update it, but only if it suits a certain purpose, to have some paper or some news. It's very flashy, I think. Seda was very flashy.
And it managed to beat the current meta, but it's not doing that anymore.
And has no learning whatsoever. Well, it's not exactly true. It has learning, but I don't think it's more powerful than that of the original it came from.
That being said, corporates mean or can mean sponsorship and money, and that could propel the not just the SSCIT scene, but as a whole, the Brood War AI scene forward. Because let's face it, that's the most most effective thing at developing this kind of stuff. Or do you think money is the root of all evil and this can bring no good?
I don't think it's not a bad thing to have an influx of cash, but I think you'd have to have a direction to go with that. Otherwise, don't think it's adding as much I think we need a would need a clear program. And I don't know that the corporate bots are actually adding much money to us. It's mostly they're investing very frugally so far. I mean, I think there was one case of sponsorship where a company provided hardware for running the tournament on, I forget which company that was. It was either NVIDIA or Intel or something like that. But that, other than that, I don't know that a lot of companies have made as much of a contribution to the scene.
Well, that might be because most of the ladders, maybe with the exception of Basil, are academic projects, and that complicates things. They are not, so to speak, commercial interests. But Bitekeeper, I expect that you are extremely bribable and everyone can donate, right?
Well, due to the German tax system, no. It would make things very complicated for a small amount of money.
So what you are saying is don't try to bribe you with small amounts of money. I get it. Wink,
you have to make it worth its while.
Yes, if you bribe me with large amount of money, feel welcome. No problem.
I can sympathize. What are your plans with Basil, by the way? Do you plan any huge upgrades or maybe different directions with it?
Well, I plan to add season 2 soonish. It's already ongoing for I think 2 or 3 months, so it's time for it. I also was thinking about separating the normal games from the seasons and have seasons actually be seasons. So you can enter a bot and you cannot change it for the season.
I like that concept. Also, maybe you should add, or you could add, like Wacky Leagues, just adding some sub-league where you try out Wacky Maps or such. I expect that wouldn't be too much of an effort, right?
Come again, sorry?
So, basically, you invent some kind of sub-league that only plays Wacky Maps, and it is just an addition to the usual Basil functions.
Yeah, but there need to be some changes because you don't want those Wacky Maps to modify your ELO, I think so, or your win-loss rates.
Yeah, but like a separate instance with separate stats, would that be a large amount of work?
No, not a large amount, but not a small amount, because I never intended to do that.
But it seems that Basil is a good baseline of bots, and bot authors like to use it extensively.
Yeah, it seems that way. So that's one of the reasons it's still there, because if people wouldn't like it, I don't think I would kept it going for that long. It's almost a year now. It's in 1 month. Yes, 1 month, and it's a year old.
Yeah, because you can't effectively test your... get that vast amount of data about your bots. Well, there are no other... opportunity for that. I guess you could do that and reproduce Basil locally if you really want to.
Yeah, I think actually it all started with SC Docker, because I don't think I would have done it if there wasn't the baseline SC Docker version, which was already working very well. I only did some minor improvements, so most of the bots actually work, and some API changes, some small stuff, not really a large amount. But now it's in a state where you can really use it locally. I think Dan is using it Pub is using it a lot locally to just run 1,000 games. It's a very quick way to test to use it now.
Is there anything Dan can't and not doing?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Also, another bot I wanted to discuss on the aid participant list is something called Bunker Boxer Bot, I think. And it is interesting, it's a non-trivial bunker rush bot. And I think that is a strategy that not many bots are prepared for.
Well, I mean, my bot used to be a bunker rush bot, so I think that's... the top bots should be prepared for it. After all, they've been facing my bot back when it was all like mostly rushing bot anyway, so they should be prepared for it. But that said, though, Seda could still be bunker rushed, which was the top bot at the time. So if you do it right, the bunker rush right, you could still get quite a decent win percentage, just like you could with like a cannon rush.
Well, we will see. Alright, that's basically all I had for today. Do you have anything else you would like to discuss?
Once my Autobot API is done, I'll let all of you know. You can maybe make a bot in another game, which is even more complex than StarCraft. Not necessarily more difficult to write a bot for, but I'll let you know.
Oh yeah, another time sink.
Yeah.
Because all we have is time.
But it's fun. I don't think any of us would be doing it if it wasn't fun. That's also something which, well, it's a bit negative if corporates are entering too much, because I personally think it might help, but it might also take out a little bit of the fun. It depends. We really could use some more bots, some more powerful bots, to also make certain people continue working on their bots. But it's I hope you can reach a few with your entry to the Pylon show.
Oh yeah, I will try. And, I already tried, what is what I meant. Thank you very much for being here today, and I hope to see you again.
Thanks for having me. Oh, sorry.
Thanks, Evan.